Thanks for listening to our podcast. We've got more information and additional resources at probe.org/podcast. And be sure to check out our life-changing Summer Mind Games camp for high school and college students.
Perhaps the most accurate view yet for the state of the evangelical church, Kirby Anderson reveals there's good reason for concern. Now on Probe.
How are evangelicals doing in America in the second decade of the century? Are we growing in numbers with a clear gospel message, or are we on the verge of a major collapse? Sociologists tracking religious beliefs should have the answer. So what are they saying about evangelicals? Well, let's first hear from Bradley Wright, professor of sociology at the University of Connecticut. In his book, he finds that there seems to be no compelling evidence based upon the data that we have about young people that the church in America is on the verge of collapse. Looking across multiple sources, he concludes that the percentage of young people who attend church who think that religion is important has remained mostly stable. What I don't see in the data are evidence of a cataclysmic loss of young people. He notes that the percentage of evangelicals has remained fairly constant in recent years, while mainline Protestantism has declined. Another voice is Byron Johnson, professor of social sciences at Baylor University. From his survey, he concludes that leading religious observers claim that evangelicalism is shrinking and that the next generation of evangelicals is becoming less religious and more secular, but the evidence shows that neither of these claims is true. Those who argue that a new landscape is emerging, one in which the conservative evangelicalism of the past few decades is losing numbers and influence, are simply ignoring the data. A third sociologist, Christian Smith, at the University of Notre Dame, has done an extensive study of young Americans over the 5 years from 2003 to 2008. He states that the preponderance of evidence shows emerging adults actually remaining the same are growing more religious, with the notable exceptions of declining regular church attendance among Catholics and mainline Protestants, a near doubling in the percentage of non-religious emerging adults, and the significant growth in the percentage of emerging adults identifying themselves as religious liberal. His in-depth interviews show most emerging adults are okay with talking about religion, although they are largely indifferent to it. Most of them think that most religions share the same core principles which they generally believe are good. He concludes that the tenets of liberal Protestantism have won the day, resulting in the demise of mainline Protestant churches since their teaching is redundant to the take-for-granted mainstream that they help create. Well, we've heard from these three sociologists suggesting evangelicalism is holding its own, but the soothing conclusion does not stand up to further scrutiny, as we'll see tomorrow.
You've been listening to Probe with your host, Kirby Anderson. The news isn't good, and you'll want to download Steve Cable's transcript, The True State of American Evangelicals. It's free, and it's at probe.org/radio. That's probe.org/radio. Join us next time as we shine the light of God's truth into our dark and deceived culture here on Probe.
Standing in contrast to the eminent sociologists considered yesterday are the findings of the Barna Group. Their surveys indicate that less than 20% of born-again Americans agree with six basic Christian worldview beliefs. Among born-agains between 18 and 25, their number drops significantly. Young people may be affiliating with evangelical churches at similar rates as in the past, but that does not mean that their beliefs are similar to prior generations. So is Bradley Wright correct that there is no compelling evidence that the church in America is on the verge of collapse? Or Christian Smith's claim that most young people are heavily influenced by mainline Protestantism? Or Barna's assertion that the dearth of a biblical worldview is a sign of collapse? Well, at Probe, we had to find out who was right. So we dove in to analyze the data behind the statements using their own data, and we commissioned our own survey of 18 to 40-year-olds who actually were able to give us an opportunity to see more deeply into the question. What we found convinced us that things are worse than the sociologists concluded. Looking at the survey data used by the sociologist and Barna, we discover that on similar questions, they have similar results. For example, the question, "Do you believe God is all-powerful involved today?" is asked in one form or another in all four surveys, and we find that all four reporting about 80% of young Americans in their 20s believe in this type of God. But as we saw yesterday, they came to very different conclusions about the meaning of the similar data. Two said evangelicals are doing well, while another said yes, but there is something different about this emerging generation, and Barna said Jesus would be disappointed by the answers from today's Americans. To find the truth, we need to ask more questions deeply than "Do you believe in a God?" Smith took the first step by asking probing questions about what their answers really meant. He saw that answering a few questions about God and Jesus did not imply belief in biblical truths. But additional questions are not enough because you must combine answers across the set of related questions. By doing this, Barna discovered that the beliefs of Americans were disjointed and inconsistent. Even though 83% of these young born-agains believe that God is all-powerful and involved in the world today, only a small subset believe all six biblical worldview positions. But are these results from Barna consistent with the results from other surveys? We'll look at that tomorrow. Sociologists have different positions on the status of evangelicals. Can we sort through the confusion and find a solid answer? Fortunately, we can access the raw data from many of the surveys used. Using roughly equivalent questions within each survey, we determined that the surveys used by the four different sociologists are basically consistent. When analyzed, all sources say less than 1 in 3 young born-agains have beliefs consistent with a biblical worldview, and fewer than 1 in 10 also have a set of cultural beliefs consistent with those taught in the New Testament. For example, beliefs about sex outside of marriage, abortion, materialism, caring for the poor. So it appears that all these sociologists would have been espousing the same message as the Barna Group, given a more in-depth analysis of their own data. Since their data actually is consistent with Barna's data, it allows us to quit worrying about the differences and concentrate on the common message. There are at least three major results that are important for us to consider. First, as the culture has adopted unbiblical views regarding pluralism, sexuality, honesty, and other issues, many evangelical church members have adapted their beliefs to accept the new cultural positions rather than stand firm on the truths of Christ. They have been taken captive by empty deception and philosophy according to the traditions of men, according to the elementary principles of the world rather than according to Christ. Second, our 18 to 29-year-olds are leaving a classic evangelical faith in large numbers. Of the third that were raised as evangelicals, a third of them directly leave their evangelical church, with half of that number going into liberal mainline denominations, the other half leaving behind church affiliation. Of those who remain, one-third of them attend church but do not hold to a biblical worldview. Another third do not go to church or hold to a biblical worldview. So just less than 8% of American teenagers move into emerging adulthood with strong evangelical worldviews. Third, the percentage of Americans belonging to evangelical churches remain fairly consistent, but the beliefs of the members has not remained consistent. The sacred secular split identified by Nancy Piercy allows them to ascribe to at least a limited set of evangelical beliefs in their fantasy sacred realm, while keeping the real truths of the secular realm isolated and unaffected by any evangelical beliefs. Tomorrow, we'll gain insight into the question, how did this happen? If you find your child trapped inside a dryer, you want to understand how they got into that mess so that you can prevent it in the future. In the same way, Probe undertook an in-depth survey of born-agains from 18 to 40 years of age to understand how they are so often taken captive by the thoughts of men. Our survey found that they fall into three equally sized categories. Number one, those with a biblical worldview who attend church regularly. We'll call them free ones. Number two, those without a biblical worldview who attend church regularly. We'll call them partially captive. And number three, those without a biblical worldview and who do not attend church regularly, full captives. Our survey found that most of them acquired their spiritual beliefs from their parents. Their inconsistent beliefs from God to gossip they attribute to the prior generation. If the parents are holding captive beliefs, then it is reasonable to see that their thinking expanded to their children. It was also interesting to find that college graduates were influenced by sources outside of their family and are almost twice as likely to be free ones than the non-graduates. Apparently, this group dealt with the challenges to their faith in college by drawing on information outside their family, resulting in a more fully developed faith. Now, if they engaged in behaviors such as illicit sexual activity, anger, improper use of the tongue, selfishness, or other negative attitudes, they were asked whether they thought that behavior was wrong. Interestingly, all of these young people had similar behavior in engaging in sin, but the captives were much more likely to feel fine about their sinful behavior. In fact, about one-third had no guilt about their sexual indiscretions, and over half had no guilt with other forms of sinful behavior. What about age? Well, those between 30 and 40 were 40% more likely to have a biblical worldview than those between 18 and 24. Similarly, Christian Smith's data shows that over one-third of the 18 to 24-year-olds were no longer affiliated with any Christian religion today, as compared to about 1 in 5 30-somethings. If this is a precursor to permanent erosion in the number of people with a biblical worldview, we need to address it now. In summary, the majority of born-agains, number one, caught their unbiblical beliefs from their parents. Number two, make important decisions without considering biblical truth. And number three, don't consider sinful behavior much of a problem. How can we respond? We'll look at this tomorrow. In looking at how the American Evangelical Church is faring, we started with sociologists who likened it to a pure Caribbean beach, but upon further evaluation, it may turn out to be a trash-filled swamp of putrid water. Can the church continue on its current trajectory of inconsistent beliefs? Either the evangelical church will follow other Protestant denominations into irrelevancy, or something will bring it back to the truth found in Christ. One ploy of Satan is to offer up watered-down and distorted views to prevent Christians from living in ways that proclaim Christ. From the data we have looked at this week, Satan's strategy is having a powerful effect in America today as young evangelicals embrace pluralism, sexual activity outside of marriage, and other tenets of our society. Now, an encouraging note in this discouraging journey of discovery is our status is not new. The Apostle Paul expressed concern about the loss of truth impacting the genuine believers of Colossae. He warns them, "I say this so that no one will delude you with persuasive argument, with the intent of taking you captive through philosophy and empty deception, rather than according to Christ." He goes on to highlight four different types of arguments that could lead them astray: naturalism, legalism, mysticism, and asceticism. We don't have to fall for these delusional traps. Paul explains how to escape from delusional thinking. Number one, ask God to fill believers with the knowledge of His will. Number two, recognize that Christ is the maker and sustainer of all, and therefore every real truth in the world must be His. Number three, accept that I am complete in Christ, and receiving the favor of men cannot add to that completeness. Number four, in the same way I receive Christ for eternal life, I am to walk in His truth, being firmly rooted and grounded in Him. And number five, realize that I am living in eternity with Christ and am assigned briefly to this temporal world. Don't fall for Satan's trap that some man-made concept has a better grip on truth than Jesus, our Creator and Sustainer. We have seen this coming generation are looking to you to define their beliefs. Are you going to show them an active belief in Christ as your truth? If you do so, you can make a difference.